Hammier than Branner, greyer than hair, it's Fugcast. I'm your ghost host. Boo, you look like you've seen a ghost host. I cast my line, you take the bait. I reel you in and bash your head in with a rolled up copy of Top Gear magazine. My new world record plays homage to New World wines. It's all bleeps, squeaks, and high-pitched whines. Very unpleasant to listen to, and I had a terrible time making it. Sells like cheddar in here. I'm secret. Shh, I'm hiding. Shh. But what am I hiding from? My bald spot? My liver spots? Spot the difference. But you can't you? I'm same as last, weak, watery-eyed specimen. A middle-aged dad on a skateboard. A middle-class weed on a tiny bicycle. Whoa, no brakes! In other news, I've made it out of blue tack and old bottle tops. But what is it? It looks like Randor, King of the Swamp Elves. But it's not his latest episode of show. Hello and welcome to Fugcast. As always, I'm Sam Langley, and as you can't see, I'm here wearing a grey tunic and a grey peasball cap on backwards. But why am I looking so smart, you ask? Well, it's my birthday. I think it is anyway, which is the same thing. And on my birthday, I like to put on my best clothes and have a lonely walk in the woods that surround my subterranean home. I'll take an austere packed lunch consisting of a piece of stale bread, a handful of acorns, and a flask of hot rainwater. In the evening, I'm having a few of my disciples over for a few rainwaters. I'll read them some of my poetry, and then we'll have a big punch-up, which I'll win because I've been teaching them bogus self-defense skills. Now that I'm 44, there are two things that I do differently. One, sit down wee. Two, stand up poo. Other than that, my life remains unchanged. Well, apart from one, gammy leg. Two, lazy eye. But that's it. Daddy, the big posh woman stole my hammer. My son is a poisonous little twat, and I don't believe a word of it. Daddy, the big posh woman stole your hair gel. Wait, what? She better not have. I've got a meeting with Miller Rogers later at the abandoned school, and I need to look sharp, like a hedgehog, you know, all spiky. I need him to sign off on a new hot air project I just made up. Daddy, the big posh lady keeps looming up at the window. Daddy, the big posh lady is showing me pictures of pheasants on her smartphone. The big posh pheasant is showing me pictures of run-over hedgehogs she's drawn in the mud with a stick.
Mittimer or Mittimerid?
This episode of Fugcast is sponsored by a big posh lady. Mid-40s, great bone structure, likes Prosecco, wears a gilet to Waitrose to pick up more Prosecco, drives an armoured car, wears a butcher's cap, talks about furniture, smells like frankincense and crab, name like Jill or perhaps Sue, donates most of her income to obscure podcasts. I'm looking at a picture of myself circa 1987. Back then I worked for the Scottish fashion magazine Hoots. I was only 5 and could barely write, but that didn't seem to matter as I spent most of my time in expensive restaurants. I was a regular at Harvey's, run by the infamous Marco Pierre White, and he would often join me for a flute of orange squash and a chat. A typical conversation may have gone something like this. Marco, Did you enjoy the mussels? I pickled half of them in cough syrup. Me, you're a poo-bum. Marco, well, you're a fucking cunt. Me, wah, I'm telling my mum. Marco, go on then, tell your fucking whore of a mother. In my left hand, I have a plasticine model of my right hand. My right hand is empty. In my left trouser pocket, I have a drawing of my right trouser pocket. My right trouser pocket is empty. In the left hemisphere of my brain, I am thinking about the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere is empty. With my left eye, I am looking at my right eye in the mirror. The right eye socket is empty. I know that most of my listener doesn't want to hear about my bowel movements, but there's a part of him that does. And as he rolls along the pavement on his miniature skateboard with his tiny hat, upside-down moustache and tiny currant eyes, part of him is wondering about the size, shape, consistency, and odour of my latest product. So here are some stats. Weight, 2.5 pounds. Height, 3 millimetres. Shape, perfect sphere. Colour, jet black. Odour, freshly cut grass with hints of gooseberry, wild strawberries, and shite. Welcome to the serious section of the show. It's a new opportunity to stop messing around, get a grip, and start taking life more seriously. It's 7:39, and you're on your way to work at the bead shop. You take your job very seriously, arranging the beads by shape, size, and colour, and greeting customers with a furrowed brow and an earnest, "Hello, how can I help you?" Today you're working with Tatisha, a 21-year-old girl with an appallingly laid-back attitude. So I said to him, I said, "Either you shave your eyebrows off or we're done. And do you know what?" You exhale aggressively, but it has no effect. He says, "Fuck off, I ain't shaving my eyebrows off," so I grabs the ham on and I belts him with it. "Tatisha, we're supposed to be arranging the beads. Look, the blue ones are mixed up with the red ones. And I'm not even going to comment on the stripy ones. It's chaos." "Yeah, but who cares? No one's watching, are they? We can do what we like." "I care. I take my job very seriously, and it's..."
"Excuse me."
A tall, thin man suddenly looms in front of you. "Oh, hello, sir. How can I help you? We have some lovely green spotted beads in today, half price." And you smile stiffly.
"Could I have half a pound of plain yellow beads, please? And don't worry, son. I don't bite. Here, take a look at this."
He rolls up his sleeve and flexes his skinny arm.
"I do 5 push-ups every evening."
"Oh, impressive."
"I tell you what, I'll take 7 of those recursive beads. Yes, that's right, the silver ones."
"Oh, I'm terribly sorry, but they're not for sale, actually. They're magic beads, you see, and..."
"I know what they are, Sonny. Give them to me."
And his tone changes. "Well, I'd like to, but they are integral to... I mean, if they fell into the wrong hands, I mean..."
And I'm not sure what happens next, because I couldn't be bothered to finish it.
My voice is like a piece of stale fruitcake. Dry, but still nice and fruity. Just like your mum's new boyfriend, Chris. He's sardonic, isn't he? And quite risque. Bit of a prick, actually. But your mum likes him. And apparently he's a very passionate lover. Long, thin fingers. Long, thin legs. Long, thin eyes.
Fugcast!
Sarzenvan Larvingly is a synthetic copy of yours truly. He hosts his own show, Eisencast, which continues to go from strength to strength.
And he's here today, dressed in a beige cloak, spats, riding gloves, beige felt crown, and beige jockey shorts. My first question took 3 years to compose, and goes like this. What's with all de beige?
Beige signifies the dessert. I was conceived during the dessert course at the Rosé and Crowns. Not in a sexual sense, but rather in the mind of my creator Don Waterhouse. I believe he was eating a bowl of sticky trickle at the time.
Okay, good. So, Eisencast.
Yes, I know.
It's pretty similar to Fugcast.
Yes, well, it may seem so, but it's actually very different.
Really? How?
Well, you think your show is pretty weird, don't you? I don't. I think it's middle of the lukewarm bung pile. I mean, it has a structure, doesn't it? It's vaguely listenable, not like my show. Eisencast is completely incomprehensible. No real words or music, and nothing to grab hold of.
No, that's bollocks. It's exactly the same as Fugcast, only presented by a synthetic humanoid.
I prefer an organic life form.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's listen to a clip, and my listener can decide.
Xus. Rasmus. Kishvek. In Rugby K. There's Shree Way after White Surf, Way after Nine Tinge of Kinky and App and J.
No, you're right, actually. That's pretty avant garde.
I told you.
Do you have any listener?
There's an AI toaster in Leeds. She's a big fan, and an old slice of cheap white bread in falafel facts.
Cindy?
No, Crindy. She writes for the Observer Food Supplement.
So she's a fan too?
No, I told you it was weird.
So another question, then. If your show is basically a stranger version of mine, then does that mean you're a stranger version of me?
To say yes would be too predictable, so I will just rub one of my 17 crab legs through my turquoise hair and wink at you with an AI I have implanted in this pair.
So last night my son have the crab dream again, and he wakes up screaming. Yep, you guessed it. He's pissed the bed. I said, son, you gotta toughen up because you're a weedy little twerp. But he keeps crying like a sissy, so I grab him by the cummerbund, then dump him in the trash can. And guess what? It's full of crab shells because I'm on the crustacean diet. And now he's really crying. Imagine I'm talking to you now using words, and every word is a key on a computer keyboard. Every time you touch a key, it plays a note. You tap A, and it plays the note C. You tap C, and play the note A. You hit the space bar, and a treasure chest appears on the screen. Quick, press F6. Good. Now open your left hand, and there's a key. Use the key to open the treasure chest. Good. Well done. And what do you find? Another key? Now take off your left clog, and have a look at the heel. Good. Do you see a tiny keyhole? You didn't know that was there, did you? Now put the key in the keyhole. Good. And turn it. A face appears on the screen. It's a familiar face, but who is it? That's right, it's Anne Charterhouse, that nice big posh woman from up the road. She purses her orange lips and whistles. What note is that? It sounds familiar. Open the Guitar Tuner app on your smartphone. Ah, yes, she's whistling the letter C. I'm at a party. My party. But I'm not having fun. I'm trapped in the corner by an extremely dull fellow. I can't escape. He's talking about cement and the optimum ratio of sand to use. And over his shoulder, I can see a hot piece of fluff talking to Martin Foster. This is all very interesting, but I... Yes, most people use an 80-20 ratio, but they're quite mistaken. This is hardly the best ratio. He ignores me and ploughs on. But I have a trick up my sleeve. I've been eating nothing but cabbage, blue cheese and kippers for the last week, and I release an odour so vile that he stops mid-sentence and visibly retches. And he runs from the room. A big, stupid smile spreads across my face. I stride over and stand between Martin and the hot babe, completely obscuring him with my massive body. I'm Bevan, and this is my party, I leer, and jiggle my orange eyebrows. Say, what's a... And I gag, doubling over as the most offensively putrid stench fills my nostrils and mouth. And I run from the room. A small, stupid grin spreads itself over two slices of cheap white bread. Did I tell you about the dream my son had last week? He dreamt he was on holiday in Tuscany. Staying. Staying with an old German couple called Fritz and Goethe in a small village near Florence. He loves Italian food, and most nights has the pizza dream. But in this dream, he wasn't allowed any, instead being forced to eat white asparagus, pickled herrings, and cold egg.
Poetry.
See my white kilt. Feel my grey eye on you, giving you the once-over. I can look up. I cannot look down. You tell me there's a wee fella sitting on your shoe, but I can he confirm it. You tell me there's a wee fella on his shoe, but how will I know? I can he look doon. I can he look up either, mind you. It's my thick butcher's neck, stiff as a butcher's leg, thick as a butcher's neck. I slap my slab of mutton on the table, thick as a butcher's neck, spread it with butter, call the dog, he's in Cairo, it says in biro, on a post-it note stuck to the mutton. I'm eating a Kipper and Stilton donate. And if you'd like to donate, simply visit fugwatch.com and donate using the tiny yellow button. Thanks to Buron Borbaloy for donating tuppence last month. I've used the money to buy a tiny pair of shoes for my Michael figure. Thanks also to Muron Morsorvalsby for donating threepence. I've used that to buy a new pair of shoes for my David figure. These people are made up, you can tell by the names, can't you? But there are real people donating their hard-earned money so that I can continue to spout gibberish into a cheap microphone. If that's you,
thanks, mate. Thanks, mate.
If not, cough up, you weasel. It's embarrassing asking for money, which is why I'm telling you, not asking. Once you've donated whatever paltry sum you deem fit, my sales team will get in touch and try and sell you some rubbish. A lady came up to me in the street and said, "I've never heard of Fugcast," which I found very strange. It's not like I haven't promoted it. My wife gave me 30 quid last week, and I used that to print out a smashing pink and grey poster, which I put up in the post office. Now I know what you're thinking. 30 quid's a bit steep, and you probably think I spent most of it on scratch cards and chewing gum. But the truth is, they saw me coming. Well, she saw me coming, Jean in the post office, with my medieval haircut and my medieval underbite. She thought, he's a simpleton. I'll charge him 30 quid to print his crummy poster out. And that's okay. It wasn't my money.
Egg. Egg.
Imagine, if you will, that you're in a multi-story car park looking for your car. You can't remember where you parked it, and all the cars look just like your car, which is grey with pink spots. Is that your car? You peer through the window. There's a half-eaten Satsuma on the dashboard. You didn't have time to finish it earlier, remember? That lady was trying to find her car, and you were trying to help her. Half-eaten samosa? No, it's not your car. On to the next one. Yes, half-eaten Satsuma, check. Rolled-up copy of Top Gear magazine on the back seat, looking good. Large sack of Maris Pipers on the passenger seat? No. Now, I know you think I seem very grown up with my white handlebar moustache and my white handlebar eyebrows and my, well done, Dolly, and my, I'm going to retire to my study, Dolly, and don't want to be disturbed. But really, I'm just a big kid. I've been calling my friend Elizabeth Egg Lizard Bath every time I say her name. Hi, Egg Lizard Bath, I'll say, and she hasn't noticed. What a merry jape. It's the same with my friend Nigel Horseparsley. I call him Night Eagle Watercastle. He has noticed, though, and he doesn't find it funny. I have a friend who works in bike shop. He's a nice chap, but all he talks about is bike. Hello, such and such, I will say. Had a nice such and such? I love a bit of aimless small talk. In fact, it's my favourite thing ever. But all he wants to talk about is bike. I was on bike, he will say, and this old lady on bike called me such and such. Now, as you're probably aware, this is all made up. I don't have a mate who work in bike shop, and this is just an excuse for me to mess around missing out words. I think funny, but if you don't, that's okay. And now I'd like to hear from you. Would you like future episodes of Fugcast to be longer but not as good, or shorter and much better? No need to write in. Just imagine two buttons. A button mushroom and a belly button. If longer, eat the mushroom. If shorter, slide your finger into the deep, dark belly button. But be careful, as there is an anus right next to it. And even though it's an imaginary anus, it's still an anus. I was in garden yesterday when a little Brian Bluebreast. I was in garden yesterday when a little Brian Bluebreast landed on my shoulder. Chirrup, chirrup, he sang into my ear. Oh, how wonderful, I thought. And then, hello, what's this? A little Simon Greenbreast landed on my other shoulder. Well, how delightful, I thought. Until the Brian began regurgitating worms into my ear hole. It has often been remarked upon that my left ear resembles a nest of baby birds. Oh well, I thought, it'll be over soon, and then, ouch! The Simon was mounting my right ear, for it has often been remarked upon that my right ear resembles a female Simon. My therapist, Simon O'Brien, says it will take years to get over the incident, which is convenient for him. He's a sinister-looking fellow. One green eye, one blue, enormous beak statue in the waiting room, which is where I am now. Hello, says the man opposite. He looks a lot like me. White handlebar moustache, white handlebar eyebrows, leopard skin catsuit, one hand noticeably larger than the other. Oh, yes, hello, and I offer him my big hand. I'm wearing a three-piece mackerel skin suit. I know, crazy, right? I made it myself out of mackerel skin, and it drives all the cats down at the jazz club wild. Meow, purrs Ginger Tom, as I slip through the door. Meow, I reply, wiggling my hips and jiggling my eyebrows. I slide over to the bar. I'll have a saucer of oat milk and a bag of fishy treats, please, Barnum. Sure thing, Olive, love. Sure thing, Olive. Love the soup, by the way. Make that two. And Celia elbows her way. Make that two. And Celia elbows her way in, even though the bar is empty. Nice suit, she yowls, licking her hand, wiping her cheek. Have you seen mine? And she gives me a twirl. Heavens, is that sea trout?
I want to tell my story. I'm going to write a book. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to tell my story exactly how it should be told. No, you won't. No, you won't. But all the while I'm talking, I feel my conviction slowly draining away. I'm going to make a movie, I'm going to write a script. No, you're not, no, you're not. I'm going to go to Hollywood and show them how it should be done. No, you won't, no, you won't. But all the while I'm talking, I feel my conviction slowly draining away.
Well, it's all you've got time for these days. I say thanks for listening to what I'm saying now. I care what you think of me, and always think before you say...